Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today is on tap. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia. What in the world is going on with the Cleveland Browns? Thought they were supposed to be a good team in reality and fantasy. Hasn't worked out that way. And meanwhile, both the Patriots and Dallas Cowboys were big favorites over their opponent, but their opponents actually looked okay, at least for a little while. Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two, starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone, it is caught! Seattle's going to the Super Bowl!
Fires up the middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
Welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia. If you missed the first hour of the show, just go back and hit rewind and listen on demand as we recapped a lot of the later games because those were the better games in the Sunday action, including the Texans and Chargers, Saints and Seahawks, 49ers and Steelers, and then, of course, the great performances from the quarterbacks in Carolina and the New York Jets. And, Joe, we start off this hour with talking about the Oakland Raiders and Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota was really big favorites in this game, and so it's rare to have a game play out exactly the way that you think, and that's kind of what happened, ironically, in Minnesota yesterday. A rare occurrence in the NFL. The Raiders just ran all day on Oakland. Dalvin Cook, again, fantastic. Over 100 yards. Alexander Mattison is like the ultimate handcuff at this point because he looked great, too. 58 yards on the ground. They rushed for 211 rushing yards. Unfortunately for Kirk Cousins, this does not appear to be his year this year.
Very, very politely well put.
It's over
for him. Kid. Yeah,
no, it is over. Adam Thielen had two touchdowns, and so he gave at least Cousins something there. In terms of the Raiders, it was all Darren Waller, 13 catches for him and a monster performance. He's been a tight end one, no doubt. Tyrell Williams, also, if you played him, ended up doing okay there because he saved your day with a touchdown. But Josh Jacobs, just not enough volume, not enough playing time. And it certainly looks like the Raiders are limiting his snaps and his touches because maybe they think they're just not good this year. I don't know what the answer is, but Jacobs is like not even a borderline starter at this point.
Well, I think they got behind and then, you know, then they just threw it out the window.
He wasn't on the field in the first half. He wasn't on the field in the first half either. Yeah, no, I've watched the game. He wasn't playing a lot. I don't know. Who knows with Gruden? But either way, Vikings were dominant in this one, Joe. They are a running team. That's it. They are a running team. My one share of Diggs looks like it's in the crapper. Any shares that you have of Cousins at this point, thinking that he's going back to those 350-yard, two-touchdown, two-interception games are gone. Cook is too good. Madison will be great for them, too. So the good news is if you have Cook and Madison, I think you're okay, but you are going to be very touchdown-dependent, I think, on those receivers from Minnesota.
Yeah, I've got some Adam Thielen. I don't have any digs this year. I got, I think, two or three Adam Thielen.
I'm a little
shares.
Worried about him, too.
So am I. This game made me feel better. I certainly was like, ooh, especially because it happened right away. I think it was in the first quarter where Thielen got that touchdown in the first couple minutes of the game, and I went, oh, okay, good.
He ran the ball in on the one. I don't even know why they did
it. I don't know. All I know is this is a different Vikings offense than we're used to seeing, and I'm shocked in a way because last year, Kirk Cousins, statistically speaking, still finished right around the bubble of QB1. So I think the thought process everybody had is, hey, let's get more balance. They're going to run Dalvin Cook more, and that's going to free up Cousins to make, you know, a couple better decisions. And Cousins always has had some issues. He can, you know, be prolific in terms of passing yardage, not prolific in terms of decision-making. That's always been the issue with him. And now this is just another change in identity. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about other running backs potentially holding out too. Dalvin Cook is in that same last year. And now that you've got Madison and you're playing him as much as you are, it's kind of fascinating to see how much action he's getting, because I think that kind of sends a little message to you. It's like, hey, this guy right behind you is perfectly fine. We'll go with or without you, because let's be honest, you've been hurt for the first 2 years of your career. So Cook's been brilliant. You're absolutely a Kirk Cousins. Look, it's tough, man. He is, He's low end QB2 right now. That's the material he's in. You're rolling Kyle Allen out over him, I think, next week if you want. There's no way not to. And the Jacobs thing, game script's not going his way. It's not going to go his way the rest of the year, but you're right. They're not using him enough. I don't know, man. I think this was a tough game for them no matter what. No matter what their game was going into this one, Minnesota's just a better football team. It's a home field advantage, I think, in Minnesota for them. So this was exactly the kind of bloodbath everybody expected. But look, the number was 8 on this one. And they beat him by 20. So, I mean, it was even worse than people anticipated.
Yep, it wasn't close. And the Raiders don't look good. And, yeah, I think Cousins cuttable in 12-team leagues. I don't think I would not
be. Oh, absolutely cuttable. You shouldn't be rolling him out there. No way. He's bye week fodder at best.
Crazy to think that all the money they gave him. Patriots beat the Jets 30-14. And so looked like the Pats would cover this one. They did not. A little backdoor action for the Jets. Brady, another good game. 306 yards, 2 touchdowns. We'll have to keep an eye on the receivers this week, because Josh Gordon was really non-existent in the first half, and then he actually came out of the game at one point. Julian Edelman got hurt in this one. We'll keep an eye on that. Dorsett had a touchdown. Jacoby Myers finally got involved a little bit in the game plan. You want anything you can with the Patriots. Sony Michel, they didn't need him, so he just scored a touchdown. And in terms of the Jets, Joe, there's not a single Jets player that was worth mentioning in this game, and so that's all I got on this game.
Well, and Le'Veon Bell, too, 18 carries for 35. I mean, it's just, you're in a bad spot right now if you're Le'Veon Bell owner. And look, Le'Veon Bell's in his own spot too. He's like, man, did I really sign with the Jets? Did I really do that? Now maybe
what's the Sam Darnold situation, by the way?
Darnold with mono. See, the thing with mono is it's dangerous, because I want to say it affects your spleen and your liver potentially. So it's one of those things where you can't take a physical contact there until you're 100% clear, and that takes a couple weeks. Usually you have to go for blood test. Like I said, I had it when I was in college. So
you think he'll play this week or no?
It was the sickest I've ever been in my entire life. No, I don't think he'll play this week. I think you're looking at October before you see him again. I really do. That's my beat. If you see him before October, I think that would be surprising.
Jets will be much better when he gets back.
I agree. But these next couple of weeks are kind of frustrating. And on the Jets side, I mean, the Pat side of this game too, the frustrating part is when you do release Antonio Brown, and the last thing you want is not one, but two of your other wide receivers going down with injuries. Edelman x-ray was negative on him. So that's good. It looks like he just kind of maybe a bone bruise or something like that, or a little bit of a bruised rib situation, because he was kind of clutching that side. That's what it seemed. And then Gordon came out. I want to say it was a finger issue is what I heard, but I don't have any update on that right now.
Yeah, I think the situation will be okay for those receivers there, as long as this nightmare Brown is done. And
I'll tell you what, Izzo had a huge catch over the middle too. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you saw this game, but it was one catch for 41. But man, he had a huge catch over the middle there. He was wide open, and I wonder if they're going to try to make a tight end happen now. Like, I wonder if they kind of revert back and try to figure out a way to get one of these guys up to speed, because they still got Ben Watson coming back too, correct, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, look, you got Brady. It doesn't really matter who's there. And James White, by the way, would have eaten up some receptions, except for he had a baby, so he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And look, New England's going to score a ton of points every single week. There's no doubt.
Well, I think when James White went out, that kind of hurt the potential of the 22.5. That was not like a good news situation. Antonio Brown and then James White both going out. I think that 22.5 got real dicey real quick in 24 hours.
Any parting shot on Antonio Brown? This is your chance.
Parting shot is, yeah, I mean, they cut him. What do we always say? They cut Albert Haynesworth. They gave him a shot. Everybody booed him when they gave him a shot.
You understand that Antonio Brown was never an evil genius, and he's just a nightmare.
Yeah, it was just, it was a bit.
He sucks. Come on, dude.
It was a bit. I was doing a bit. It was fun because you were so negative. It was fun to take the other side. If I just agree with you, what fun is that?
I know, but
you should never have
defended this guy. Never.
Well, he's a trash human being, but so is a lot of players who play in the NFL. So
I think you let your Patriots fandom though get in the way.
No. I was saying this when he was still with Oakland, and I was saying it when he was still a Steeler too. But let's not also forget that Ben Roethlisberger is a trash human being, and all these other there's a lot of trash human beings out there that play the NFL that we tolerate at different levels. And Antonio Brown pushed the level of toleration to a point where once you had the second person come out, once you had more things, there's no way the Patriots would deal with it. And that was it. That was the end of it. Sorry. I mean, that's it. That's how they roll.
Yeah, but advising people to go run and get shares of Antonio Brown was a disaster move, Joe.
Buy on the cheap with that first week when he became a Patriot looked pretty good. Unfortunately, newer news come out. But look,
the result was that he's a nightmare. It was a nightmare from the beginning, okay, and he's a disaster, and that's the end of the story.
There's so no you're defense. Telling me if the best organization in football took a chance on him, that wasn't a good enough reason for fantasy owners to take a chance and buy low on him?
No, because the guy was a nightmare. The guy burned his feet off, wouldn't use a helmet, got himself cut by Oakland, and the warning signs were there.
See, to me, that was all shenanigans. It was when we started getting
obviously not.
Once we got the sexual, no, but that was all shenanigans and stuff. Okay, what's going on? This guy doesn't want to be on the field.
He has a mental
He was coming up with things
problem.
That were to keep him off the field in Oakland because he didn't want to be in Oakland anymore. And that to me was what he was trying to do.
He's got a mental issue.
He does. He clearly does have a mental issue, but I thought it was basically a mental issue about him wanting to not play or be there for that team. When the other things started to come out, that's when things went south real fast. And that's when you go from buying him to selling him, which, by the way, I sold him last week after I bought low on him.
You take your own. All right, we got to take a timeout. We're going to come back. We got the Lions and Eagles coming up next. And I'll tell you this, right now, Detroit is playing out of this world. We'll be right back on Fantasy Sports Today after this.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631.
Well, I like
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia. We got full-time fantasy coming your way in just a little bit. By the way, earlier today, just to reiterate, Ron Rivera did confirm that when healthy, Cam Newton will be the starter for the Carolina Panthers. So this could be a one-and-done for Kyle Allen real quick, but it was not a one-and-done for Detroit, who ended up beating the Eagles 27-24. Kerryon Johnson, 20 carries, 36 yards. That's an ugly stat line, but hey, fantasy, I guess it counts. In the end, got yourself your 10 points. Marvin Jones had a good game. Not much else. Hawkinson, oh boy, well, a lot of fab wasted on this guy. One catch. Carson Wentz is really good. 259 yards, two touchdowns. Miles Sanders showed some flashes. Even without having Jeffrey there, Aguilar scored two touchdowns. But I think the immediate fade in fantasy right now has to be this Eagles defense. Whoever play, if you have a team going against the Eagles defense, you're going to end up getting four touchdowns. I mean, this is crazy how bad they are. I don't know how this happened in the offseason that Philly just kind of, I guess, ignored their defense. This would be another great spot, by the way, for Ramsey if he would end up there. But you're still getting good fantasy production from Philly offensively. But I'm an immediate fade zone here for their defense because Detroit's not this good.
No, well, let's take a look back, shall we? The Falcons beat them. Yeah, the Redskins nearly beat them, and they gave up, what, 27 in that first game to them?
Points. Yeah, a lot of points.
They gave up 30 or 20? I can't remember now.
30.
It was 30, right?
Okay. Close to it.
And then they gave up 27 to the Lions. So what are they going to do? What you going to do when, like, I don't know, the Cowboys come to town? Like, that's the thing. It's when they start to play these real offenses that really can roll out some top talent and execute. What the hell is going to happen to the Eagles? Eagles are in serious trouble, man. this was a red flag that I think we've been trying to raise here. You're right, from a fantasy perspective, there were some things to take away that you liked.
I think this was fine from fantasy. I think just from
this
reality.
This is the first game, though, that somebody rushed for 50 yards. First two games, nobody did. Miles Sanders did. He had 53 on 13 carries, and then he had the two catches for 73. A couple drop balls in this game, too, that crushed, I think, some Eagles drives as well. Aguilar had a huge drop in this one, too. I know he had the touchdowns, but still, you know, you could score 24 points and lose. That's not good. That's not a good football team. You don't want to be there. And on the Lions side, I give the Lions credit because I feel like the Lions came in this year prepared. The Lions were kind of like, hey, everybody was looking at the Browns to be the team that says, hey, we're not the laughingstock of the NFL anymore. Meanwhile, they're the Browns 1-2, and the only win they have is against the pathetic Jets. And then there's the Lions who have a tie and two wins right now, and they beat the Chargers and they beat the Eagles, two teams that were in the playoffs or should be in the playoffs this year, theoretically, right? And I don't think the Lions are getting enough credit because the Lions, although it's not always pretty, it's nice to see Marvin Jones have a big day. Unfortunately, Galladay went quiet, which is not what you want because Galladay had a great start to the season so far in the first two games. But look, this is what happens. This is life. I'll tell you what, man, I give the credit, all the credit in the world to Patricia and this staff because they got this team ready to play. They compete. And I'll tell you what, where other teams like the Chargers fall apart late in games, the Lions don't. The Lions have not fallen apart late. And I give them all the credit in the world.
Yeah, I think they'll get whacked by Detroit this week, but look, they're already 2-0-1.
Wait, who's going to get whacked by Detroit? Detroit's going to get whacked by Detroit?
Did I say that?
Yes.
Not a bad. Detroit's going to get, right. Yeah, they'll whack themselves. That doesn't matter.
Well, then they need their
Kansas City. I'm sorry. They play Kansas City.
They'll need a whole other room to themselves.
Yeah, that'll be a show for YouTube. Yeah, Kansas City plays Detroit, so I don't know. I mean, I can't endorse that. But yeah, you look, any team that is at this stage, they're 2-0-1, they should be 3-0. They blew that game against Arizona, so they certainly have played well. I'm not worried at all about Philadelphia from a fantasy standpoint. I think this will be good. It'll be fine for them all season long, just coming back, playing in these high-scoring games. But the reality of the situation is they look like a 500 team. They look like an 8-8 team. But I think Wentz still will be good, and I think the receivers will still be good. Sanders, I'm not sure. That may not have been a great pick. I have him in one of my leagues, and I'm not convinced at all with him.
I'm not convinced even after the good game. I have one chair and I'm still not excited.
Not really.
Do you think the Eagles are a playoff team?
No, but for fantasy, it'll be fine.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, they'll be, you know, playing in a lot of these crazy games. I still think Wentz gets his numbers at the end of the year. I still think Jeffrey gets his numbers at the end of the year. I still think the tight end gets his numbers at the end of the year too, but they'll be trailing in a lot of games because their defense isn't good. Colts 27, Falcons 24. Jacoby Brissett was really good in this one. 300 yards and two touchdowns. But now they got a major injury, it looks like, with T.Y. Hilton. 8 catches, 65 yards and a touchdown. Quad injury is almost certain to keep a guy out for at least a week or two. And so I don't know how they survive this one. But look, they've gotten off to a great start. Marlon Mack, a touchdown. Vinatieri, by the way, 2 field goals, 3 extra points. So he's back all of a sudden. Matt Ryan bombed early in this game with a touchdown, rallied with some... In a comeback with some garbage time, Julio Jones, a monster again, best receiver in the NFL, 8 catches, 128 yards, a touchdown. And Devonta Freeman, I will say this, he did look good in the limited time that he got, and he ended up getting a 10-point day. So, I mean, he didn't really win any leagues this week, but that was a positive sign, I would say, for him.
I think what you're looking for, he didn't suck as hard. Is that what you're looking for?
That's probably, well, I mean, it wasn't his fault this week, but I still, again, he's a split time guy, and I don't think he'll grade it right out.
Well, here's the thing. Just from the sense of the efficiency, 16 carries for 88, 5.5, that is a breath of fresh air. Because when you're at 2.2 going into this game from yards per carry, that's a giant issue. And the fact that he had one long 28-yard gain, too, that was something he desperately needed. I would really love to see him get more active in the passing game. He had 4 targets. I would like to see a little bit more of that going forward because I think that helps him. Just go all in here. I think this is what you need. If you're the Falcons, you're 1-2 right now. I think you just need to go a little bit balls to the wall here with Freeman and make it work. And Jacoby Brissett, you're right, man. This was a great performance by him in every sense of the word. This was a tough matchup. Again, at home, though, but still showed up, did exactly what he was supposed to do. And I'm just really impressed. Remember the bold predictions we did at the beginning of the year that I said the Colts, I want them to rally around Brissett and make the playoffs. That's going to be the story of the year. Man, let me tell you, they should be 3-0 right now. They really should be. And good for Vinatieri coming back. I guess they talked him into it, and that's great. Marlon Mack had an injury going into this game, but the fact that he came away with 16-74 and a touchdown, that's good. I don't want to ever lose T.Y. Hilton from an offense. But the one thing I will say, the next couple of weeks, if you're going to lose him, lose them next week to play the Raiders and then the Chiefs, because those are two of the worst secondaries out there that you can continue to throw the ball on regardless of, I think, personnel. So if you're going to miss them for a couple weeks, those are the two teams that, like, maybe you just got lucky in the schedule. Does this make you feel like you want to bump up anybody else in this offense if T.Y. is going to miss a couple weeks?
No, and I don't think that they win without him. I think he's the most important player on their team.
You don't think they can beat Oakland next week without him?
I would smell an upset in that game. Hilton, to me, is the most important player in their offense. Mack can be replaced. Hines could come in and do well. I would be very worried without Hilton there. That's just, again, my opinion. But again, let's see what happens this week. We'll see what the situation is. But usually quads are a week or two. I would immediately lean right now, if I was sharp in Vegas, on taking as many points as I can with the Raiders. If I knew that Hilton was going to be out, I think he's a crucial, crucial guy.
I don't think he plays no matter what next week, even if he says, hey, I can go. I think they hold him out against the Raiders because they think they can beat that team.
You're probably right. I think that they would play him if he was healthy, but a quad
they're
is never
home,
1 week.
Raiders
thing.
On the road. I don't know. I'll still take
I can't look at him like it's the NFL. Wacky things happen all the time.
Darius Leonard is more important, too, because he got banged up in that game, too, I believe.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that one as the week goes. Real quick, Dolphins and Cowboys. This one played out pretty much the way it was supposed to, although just more mistakes from Miami, drop passes from Parker, Drake fumbling all over the place. Zeke and Pollard both 100 yards each. You can't complain with Zeke. He did what he was supposed to do, 100 yards and a touchdown. Amari Cooper will have to be one of those at the end of the season that I'll just be completely wrong on. 6 catches, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. So that's a big whiff. He looks like a bona fide wide receiver, one top 10 guy at this point, Joe. Dolphins, nothing to say.
Well, okay, hold on a second. The Giants just gave up 190 and 3 touchdowns to Mike Evans. And now, you know, we saw Amari Cooper be good against the Giants, and now we see him be good against the Dolphins. This is another one where I don't know if you want to write yourself off that quickly, because Amari Cooper's had some great games, but he's also had some phenomenal matchups. It's going to change a little bit. Now, it's not going to change when they play the Eagles.
Look, at the end of the year, we're going to look at the numbers, and the numbers are going to be there.
Well, but I think you always look at the numbers, and at the end of the year, they're there with Cooper. My struggle with him is week to week. You know, it's great when you put up 35 and then you put up 4 the next 2 weeks. That pisses me off.
Hasn't happened yet, though, man.
It hasn't. It hasn't, because of the schedule. It's been helpful. And maybe the schedule will prop him up this year. But, I mean, how do you not love what you got out of Zeke? And it was no surprise that Pollard got a lot of activity in this game, too. I thought that was a very cagey DFS play to kind of just go down to the bottom, get in on Tony Pollard, and get the 13 for 103 and a touchdown for him. Dude, that was pretty impressive. This Dolphins team is dreadful. Yeah, I think Rosen did everything he possibly could, and I think it's about time to just let him play football. And I mean, who are the Dolphins have next?
Disaster.
What's the line? Where are we at?
Chargers. It's just a disaster. All right, let's take a quick timeout. Packers and Broncos. We got that game next. Don't go away.
The Morning Line. We know all about Tom Brady and the weapons, and we're worried about the offense. Well, what nobody's talking about is just how dominant this defense is. Tom Brady will get the headlines. This defense is crushing teams. Could very well be, according to some that follow the Patriots. And Bill Belichick, he said himself that this could very well be the best defense he has ever coached.
Weekday, 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on Zumo TV, channel 719.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sportsbook. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, open your new account, and claim your free wager of up to $500 today.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Get in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, where listeners of this network can get a risk-free bet up to $500. Here's how it works. First, create a DraftKings Sportsbook account, then make a deposit and place your first bet, and DraftKings will match it up to $500. Just go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. Act quickly. This offer won't be around forever. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Let DailyRoto.com guide you to victory as you swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become part of the growing community who have won thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today.
Lose weight now. Go to Fat100.com. Lose that unwanted belly fat today and get free information at Fat100.com. Fit in the dress or pants or bathing suits you've always wanted to. Go to Fat100.com. Lose 10, 20, or more pounds immediately. Go to Fat100.com. For free information on how you can lose weight, go to Fat100.com. Fat100.com. That's Fat100.com.
Are you single? Everyone single is looking for the best day possible. Well, I found one website that can find you the best date, and it's called thebestdate100.com. Just go there and log in for your free trial and see if you can find your new and maybe last best date. Remember, you can find the best date of your life at thebestdate100.com. That's thebestdate100.com. One more time, thebestdate100.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament. NFL setting their lineup using DailyRoto.com's DFS lineup optimizer. You can also join the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars each week playing DFS at DailyRoto.com. You can take down $100,000 entering a DFS lineup in tonight's Monday night game using the DailyRoto optimizer. That's already happened on a single game slate this season. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL annual pass with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. Craig Mish, along with Joe Pisapia, here with you on Fantasy Sports Today. The Lions injuries are propping up here. Darius Slay, his status unknown for week four. Their defensive lineman, great defensive lineman, Mike Daniels, in a walking boot. We'll have to keep an eye on the Lions as we go forward this week. And speaking of defense, the Green Bay Packers are now officially living off their defense, because this was yet another game that I watched yesterday that I was not impressed, but they somehow end up winning. Packers go up big. They do nothing. Aaron Jones did not look good at all, but the Broncos just kept giving the ball to Green Bay, and so they would give them to them on five and each score. Aaron Rodgers threw for 235 yards. One of them was a big pass at the beginning of the game to Valdez Scantling, 99 yards and a touchdown, but really wasn't a startable player. I have him in a couple leagues. I didn't start him, and if I had, I probably would have won, but I did not. Philip Lindsay looked like the better running back on Denver, but it seems like they're just so committed to the run. 21 carries for him and two touchdowns, and Freeman had 15 carries for 63 yards. Flacco fumbled. Flacco threw a pick. Denver just didn't look really good, but they were very much in this game from start to finish. The Broncos could have not just won this game. They could have covered and won this game against Green Bay. And so I, Joe, at this point, am still not impressed at all with the Packers. I know that they are 3-0, but I think it's a paper 3-0. Denver is going to be in a lot of games this year because they just refuse to do anything but run until they have to. And so my takeaway from that is that of all the 3-0 teams, the team that I like the least is Green Bay, because I don't think that their offense is, and crazily enough with LaFleur now as their coordinator, it just doesn't look as good as it looks on paper. They're winning games and they're winning. It looks like they're winning big in these games, but I'm just not buying it. I'm watching their team and they don't look good.
LaFleur coming over, I don't know why anyone was excited about that, because if you were excited with the Titans offense last year, I mean, I want to check you into a mental institution of some kind, because that was just terrible. But so much for the coach speak of the Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones carry share, because Williams had 12 carries, Aaron Jones had 10. I don't love that. I think we sat here during the week and I was concerned that I think one of the 10 things I hate about was, I don't know if the Packers offense can sustain more than one fantasy wide receiver. Now, in my wildest dreams, I didn't think that guy wasn't Devontae Adams, but this week it was. Devontae Adams was the guy that kind of got left out here. Valdez Scantling was 6 for 99 in a touchdown. I got lucky because there were two leagues where I was desperate for flex and I threw him in there, and I got lucky that he had the game he did, but I was not looking forward to that stat line at all. So that was a pleasant surprise, but man, oh man, Adams owners everywhere are pissed off, and I don't blame them. And it's funny because going into this year, they kept saying, well, Aaron Rodgers is going to get to do whatever he wants. But Aaron Rodgers did whatever he wanted last year, too. The percentage of plays that Aaron Rodgers changed at the line of scrimmage is much higher last year than people realize. And yet Mike McCarthy constantly took all the heat for why things went south with this offense. Maybe, just maybe, we have to dig a little bit deeper. And maybe, just maybe, it's Aaron Rodgers who's at fault here. And maybe Aaron Rodgers calling these plays and changing things and doing what he wants to do, it's winning football games, and that's fine. But maybe, just maybe, it's not from a fantasy perspective what everybody else wants. So I think the overreaction to LaFleur taking this job was massive and incorrect. And on the other side of this one, I'm not a huge Royce Freeman guy, but this is the perfect time to buy on Royce Freeman. That's absolutely the perfect time. And he's going to come up early later in the week, I'm sure. Lindsey had a great game, the best game of the year for him so far from a rushing standpoint, from a receiving standpoint, everything you possibly wanted. I'm sure it happened on a ton of benches, but now everybody's going to overreact to that and want to get rid of Royce Freeman. And I don't think Royce Freeman is done whatsoever in this offense, Craig. Do you?
Well, they're just running the ball like crazy.
Right. So just go get Royce Freeman cheap now, because what if Lindsey goes
pops
a knee next week?
I think Lindsey looks like the better running back of the two. He's more explosive. He catches more passes. But they're so heavily committed to running the ball that I don't think Freeman's an every week starter, but you're looking at back-to-back weeks of almost 40 rushes from Denver. There's going to be a lot of unders being played with the Broncos and a lot of low-scoring games. So
can they win with this strategy in Denver as the season drags on
at home,
and they play more home games?
At home. Yeah, at home. They're 7-9, 6-10. They're not good, but they'll play well at home. They always play well at home. I mean, they'll play next week at home. They'll play well. They played okay this week. It's just Flacco's not good. You know, I mean, Flacco can make unbelievable passes like he did to Sutton a couple times, and you get anybody near the dude and he's going to fumble or get picked. Denver will go to their back, will to lock. They will go to lock at some point this year. Flacco is, I would say this is the final year of him starting in the NFL.
Is that the next guy to add now on the cheap?
I don't know how
Daniel Jones is the guy, the first guy.
Locke is probably the least polished of all of the quarterbacks going into the season. So I think he needs more time. He'll make a home debut, I would think, at some point. And again, from a fantasy perspective, if Fangio's idea, Joe, is running the ball, what does it matter what Locke does? I don't think he'll do anything. I think that he'll attempt 16 passes a game. So I don't think he'll be fantasy relevant at all for this year.
Who becomes even more is maybe Freeman and Lindsey. Like maybe they could run
the
ball more. You may
be able to play both those guys at one point this year against the Raiders twice. Well, they played them once, but like the next time that they play against the Raiders, you may be able to play both those guys. I am not as impressed with Freeman after seeing him play yesterday. He looked slow to me, but he got a lot of carries and he does break some. He had a touchdown, by the way, called back on a BS call. It should have been a touchdown. Again, Denver could have easily won this game yesterday, but they crapped all over themselves. And again, I will be fading, even though Green Bay keeps winning, I will be fading them going forward.
I think you're right. I think they are one of the, so if they're the worst 3-0 team, who's the best 0-3 team, or is there one? Kind of tough. Maybe we got to think about that. Maybe that's fodder for tomorrow.
All right, let's hit the Rams and Browns before we do our Monday Night Football preview. So, I watched this game last night because we had the Rams in the contest. We had a good week betting, but bad week fantasy, but real good week with the betting. Rams, to me, was the pick of the week. I don't understand how. Well, I guess I do understand, because Cleveland could have easily came back and tied that game. All Baker needed to do is throw a touchdown at the end, and then it's a push or a loss. So I shouldn't say that there's any easy games, because there isn't. But going into the week, I thought the Rams were the better team. Goff is just a disaster on the road. So many plays were missed, I thought, in that game. So the Rams win by a touchdown. What was positive for their Cooper Kupp looked great. Cook still looks good. Joe, unfortunately I do have to say again, Gurley just does not the same guy as he was. It looks like
I'm with you now. This was not a good contest for him.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
It looks like it's, I wouldn't say it's over, but it just, I don't even think he gives you RB2. I mean, obviously there's just something wrong with him. He's just not the same guy. Browns coaching is awful. Baker Mayfield did not look great. I think Beckham will have some good games this season. Chubb will have some games this season. I would predict, if I had to right now, Joe, that Kitchens will be a one and done coach. I think Cleveland ends up 7-9. There's just some real serious coaching issues there, man. Like, they have a good defense, man, a really good defense, a really good offense on paper. And everyone will look to that they had a 4th-and-9 draw in the game last night, which made no sense whatsoever. Everyone will point to that. But overall, Baker Mayfield through 3 games, Joe, does not look like the guy that he looked like last year. Some people question the hiring of Kitchens at the beginning of the season, and I think that that's fair to say. He looks a little bit overmatched, and they could have easily won the game yesterday, Joe. I mean, the Rams gave them the opportunity to win the game and come back, and they couldn't seal the deal in the end.
All right, here, let's play a game. You ready? You like games, Mish?
Sure.
All right, so next week, the Browns take on the Ravens. Is that a loss for the Browns?
Probably.
But
it's a division game. I'm never 100% on anything in the NFL, but it would seem to me that Baltimore will open up as a 6-point favorite in that game.
Okay, so let's say it's a loss. For
hypothetically, it looks like it's probably a loss, but it's a division game. It wouldn't shock me to see Cleveland win.
All right, let's move on. The next week they play the 49ers on the road. Is that a loss?
Again, 49ers don't look great. Maybe, could be.
If this was in Cleveland,
they're not going to win both, Joe. How about that?
All right, that's fair enough. I definitely don't think they beat the Ravens. Then they play the Seahawks at home. Then they play the Patriots in New England. And then they go on the road again to Denver. And then they play the Bills. So it's possible.
They could get to 7 or 8 wins. It's possible.
It's possible they also come away with just one win in these next six games too.
It could, but it's
let's not pretend like it's not possible. And yeah. and if they do, Freddie Kitchens might not make it through the season.
Oh no, he'll make it through. There's nothing.
I don't know about that.
They fired their coach last year. And I don't think 2 years in a row they're doing a midseason deal. And that's
I thought it was an odd hire. You know, I didn't think Greg Williams was the answer either. And I think that this is one of those things where they said, oh, things are working here, and maybe things were working because Kitchens just focused on the offense, and that's all he had to focus on, and maybe things were successful. But now when you have to be head coach, I think it's a different thing. And he didn't have to worry about the defense because Greg Williams was there worrying about the defense. And the defense has played well. You're right. Especially, you know, I know they gave defense up a ton of really good yards.
No, defense.
Well, that's the only thing with this Gurley performance, too, that it wasn't like Malcolm Brown lit the world on fire with his three carries either. So Brown's defense is pretty good. Gurley definitely is not what Gurley was. I'm disappointed. I'm all in on Gurley everywhere. I'm hoping he can get back to some games where he's like, I don't know, 15 for 75 and a touchdown or two. Like that's the kind of Gurley games I'm needing right now. And so far the touchdowns haven't come, but I think that's going to correct itself as the season goes on. But Baker Mayfield, I mean, you know, he's been doing the commercials. He's been, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid with everybody else. Chubb was decent this game, even though he didn't have the touchdown. But I don't know, man. I look at this Browns team and this just reeks of a team that was cashing in before they played a game and is more talent than they are execution. And until you start executing consistently, they got a long 6 weeks ahead of them with some of these teams. These are good teams that are well coached. You know, even though Seattle, I think, has its issues, Seattle's going to come prepared to play. And I think they're going to out-prepare the Browns. I think all these teams are going to out-prepare the Browns, including the 49ers. And I think there's a chance that they could be staring up at 1-7. That would be amazing to think about that.
Could be. I would say two wins. You know, they finished 7-9, 8-8. At some point this season, they'll get better. But listen, the coaching, and you don't want to make too much of one play on a 4th-and-9, but there people will, and they should. I mean, that was just an awful, awful play call to just hand the ball off to Chubb. I mean, on a draw, and Chubb was surprised he even got the ball. He like looked back and was like, "What? This place?
Like, what? Me? Me? Coach? Pitch to Johnny? Yeah. I'm yeah. Johnny."
Yeah, look, it looks like Cleveland was probably the most overrated team going into the season. It looks like it. You know, that's fair to say. I think at this point, their season win total was 9 or 8. They were like favorites to win the division too. And if I would have told you at this point of the season, and I would have told you on we would do this show on September 23rd, and I would tell you that Pittsburgh is 0-3, and I would have said give me your record for Cleveland. You would have said 3-0 if Pittsburgh's 0-3, and the answer is no. They are not good either. So kind of a disappointment for sure. But coming up next, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the Monday Night Football game tonight, and unfortunately, it doesn't look like we have a great one tonight. But you never know; maybe we'll be surprised as the Bears visit the Washington Redskins. So that is coming up next. Also want to remind you, for those of you who are listening to the show, we'll do some college football preview coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. We now are going to get into the heat of college football on Thursdays and Friday nights. We actually have some pretty good top 25 matchups coming our way this week. John Lobb will be with us on Thursday as he previews all of the DFS action. And I don't know, Joe, if this was a college football weekend for you. For me, college did not go particularly well. The NFL fortunately did, but some really close, unfortunate losses this week. Did you catch any college?
I did. I caught some. I was able to watch some of the Notre Dame game. I did watch.
Yeah, Notre Dame came back to cover that one.
They did. I watched. I
annihilated.
I saw more of that.
Back in the NFL next year.
What's that?
Think Harbaugh's back in the NFL next year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't think I'll put it this way. I don't think he's at Michigan. Oh, and the other thing I saw was that Syracuse kid again, DeVito. And maybe I don't know, maybe it's because he's Italian. I like him so much. But I thought in that game he played against Clemson too, I was like, man, this kid could really throw the ball. If every time he didn't hike the ball, there were 8 guys from Clemson in the backfield. Yeah. And then he had a huge game this week. I don't know. That kid's starting to really pop to me as a guy that might have some, you know, fun one to watch and see how he progresses, because that kid can throw the football.
Maybe. Look, a very tough situation there. Their games will only get easier. We'll have to, right? All right, coming up next, it's time for a little Monday Night Football preview. We got the Bears and Redskins, and then we'll get into some other topics, including some baseball coaching topics as well. Don't go away. More fantasy sports today coming up after this.
Maid Sailors is the leading cleaning service in New York City and Boston. We service homes, offices, corporate apartments, and Airbnb turnarounds. Give us a call or a text at 212-299-5170 to book now. That's 212-299-5170. Use the promo code FNTSY for 15% off your first cleaning. For more information, go to maidsailors.com. That's maidsailors.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
With ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon. Call ThermoSpas today at 800-603-6422 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-603-6422. Call 800-603-6422 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Are you single? Everyone single is looking for the best date possible. Well, I found one website that can find you the best date, and it's called thebestdate100.com. Just go there and log in for your free trial and see if you can find your new and maybe last best date. Remember, you can find the best date of your life at thebestdate100.com. That's thebestdate100.com. One more time, thebestdate100.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia. We got full-time fantasy, by the way, coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern. They'll give you a little bit of a preview of what to expect in tonight's games and also give you an idea as to who you want moving forward when all the coaches start speaking this afternoon and tell you who is in and who is out. Boy, this line climbed up quite a bit here. The Bears went from opening up at 3.5-point favorites. It's up to 5 as they're on the road at Washington. Home dogs on Monday Night Football is like the best betting thing in the world in the last 30 years. But, Joe, the Redskins have not shown anything since Philly, and they're getting 5 points at home. The total is only 40, so they're not expecting a lot of points in this game. I guess because there's one football game on tonight, we'll watch it. But have you seen anything from the Bears that would lead you to believe that they should be almost a touchdown favorite over any team in the NFL, let alone on the road in this one?
No, they haven't. But at the same time, I don't feel comfortable with it. I'll be 100% transparent here. I don't feel comfortable with this because Trubisky could figure it out and all of a sudden come out there and have one of those games he had last year. And Trubisky did have some really good games in some unlikely spots last year against some of the better teams, which was so bizarre because if you go and you look at the game log, and I kind of peeled into last year's game log at Trubisky too, some of the better games he had were against teams like the Patriots, teams that you thought, wow, this is going to be a tough road for him today. And he would show up and throw for 3 touchdowns, and other games where he would just kind of lay a turd were against teams that he should have handled. And I know in the second half, a lot of people said there were some injuries that he was dealing with and some other stuff that he was playing through. And I give him a lot of credit for that, but this game, to me, it's all about – the only thing I care about is David Montgomery getting 18 touches. I want him to carry the ball 18 times.
Better. I'm done after this week. If it does not
happen – last week he did. It was good. Davis had 2 carries. And Montgomery had 18 for 78 or something. What do you have? No, it was good. It was better. Come on.
It did not look good last week. I watched the game. I don't care how many touches –
I understand. It was like saying,
Kerryon Johnson got 20 carries.
But he looked really good the week before against Green Bay. I don't think you would say those were bad runs. They were limited, but he was really good. He was taking guys with him for 3 or 4 yards. He looked good there.
I would say that after tonight, if David Montgomery does not have 15 carries tonight, let's give him the low end, 15 carries, 60 yards and a touchdown. I got to have that tonight against Washington. Is that fair? I mean,
yes, I think that's a,
do that.
I think
and that's we're fair. Back here tomorrow morning saying he looked good because he had 12 catches for 40
yards. I won't.
Okay.
We'll talk in that voice regardless.
60 yards and a touchdown. That's all. That's all I need from that tonight. And I have
you a promise.
I'm going to lose in my fantasy matchup regardless of what he does, but I definitely would like to see him have a good game tonight.
I would too. I think that's if he has that line, I think it's a huge success. 15 for 60, you said, and a touchdown. That's great.
Okay.
That's a really good line for a rookie running back. And regardless, I promise to talk in that Mickey Mouse voice that you pretended that I talk into, no matter what happens tomorrow.
Which one?
The one. He's so really good. Oh boy, he's such a great running back. Oh, he looks so good.
He better
like that.
You better. I will be very upset. If he has 12 carries, 20 yards, and nothing, that's it.
If he has 12 carries and 20 yards, I will be.
This is a great matchup.
It is.
It's not going to get
better. What about the Washington side? You like anything over there? No,
I like the receiver. That's it. I like the receiver, McLaurin. That's it.
That's nothing good. Else. It took a couple weeks to say his name right, which I love.
Look, I play him every week. I'll get it wrong. I'll get his name wrong. But I would play him as a wide receiver 3 every week. He's looked good enough for me through the first 2 weeks.
I agree.
Play him every, and Keenum I have tonight in the Superflex. Okay,
so give me your Bears score here. Give me the final here in this game. Because I think this is an ugly one too, don't you?
And I'll take Washington. I'll say 19-17.
Man, I feel like you're right. Yeah. I feel like it's, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, who scores more, the Bears defense or the Bears offense?
No, no points for Bears defense. No.
No points for Bears defense? Okay.
No, no. Washington has the ball with a chance to win with 2 minutes to go in this game tonight. For sure. So the Superflex League, here's what happened.
So I
started, it's the only one I won. So I started Kyle Allen, and he ended up getting a lot of points. I started Gordon. He did fine. I have Keenum tonight, but I'm two guys are done and I'm ahead of them already in points, but I'm near the bottom. But because, I picked up Hopkins and he didn't do much. Antonio Brown's gone. So that was $200 in fab wasted. I'll end up cutting him this week. Mm-hmm. Mostert was okay. He's my second running back. Michael Thomas, my team is basically this underperforming, but right. The names are there. So
which is great and alive.
Not really, because next week is going to be a major issue because my quarterbacks are Keenum and Kyle Allen.
But what are the quarterbacks from the teams that are below you in the standings right now to get guillotined?
Well, there's only one that's going to get cut. And the guy has Falk and Rudolph.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So
Let's move on. Conversation. So if Cam Newton plays this week, my only quarterback is Keenum, I think.
I think you got to hit that waiver wire hard for.
No, I think Minshew got picked up. I'm pretty sure. Is there any other?
Can't you pick up Mason Rudolph at home? Yeah, against the Bengals?
I'll have to pick up Mason Rudolph.
Oh my God, this is going to be a magical run. You are the Cinderella story of the team leagues.
I'm gonna make it through. I think Ziggler may get knocked out. He has the least points. I think he's the one. And it's his league. But listen, he's had a million in injury. He had Newton. He had Tyreek Hill. He has Barkley. So Barkley will be on the waiver wire this week.
Well, I don't know. You only have like $8 left, though, don't you?
15, yeah.
Well, put all 15. Well, that's the hard thing is now people have to bid on Barkley knowing that he's not going to play for a while.
It is. Yeah, I'm going to go that's for tricky. Rudolph. I'm going to go for I can pick up Rosen. No one picked him up. Is Miami off, though?
Are they off this week? They could still lose, even if they're on
bye. No, they're off next week.
Yeah.
Miami. Well, the Chargers at home. Tell me Josh Rosen won't throw one touchdown against the Chargers at home this week. Come on.
I think it's possible. Didn't I tell you? I texted you when he was named the starter. I said, go pick up Josh Rosen for nothing right now.
But I do like that matchup this week.
I think you're in a good spot because Hopkins will be Hopkins and Thomas will be Thomas. Okay, well, you're in at least a spot to survive again.
Antonio Brown, I lost all the money. I listened to you. Thanks. Great. I'm
done. All right, the money. You spent all the money on Hopkins, not Brown.
I spent $200 on Brown.
What'd you spend on Hopkins?
$700.
Okay, well, I'm not arguing with
Hopkins. Hopkins is going to bounce back this week. He's going to have a good game. Josh Gordon is going to have a good game, especially if Edelman's out. Josh Gordon's going to have a good game.
Hey, last week, did Antonio Brown help you survive?
I would have survived no matter what.
Huh? Did he help you?
I didn't need Antonio Brown. Now I need Antonio Brown. Two different leagues I got to cut in.
Well, now you have a roster spot. At least you have that available.
Teddy B didn't get picked up, I don't think. I can grab him. All right. Dallas this week. All right. baseball. Let's get to baseball real quick. It looks like we have all of our playoff positioning set except for that final wild card in the American League, I guess. Andy Green was fired by the Padres. People are trying to connect the dots here, Joe, that Joe Maddon will go to San Diego where it's very chill and he's got a lot of talent there. He's got a lot of talent there. Do you think that is just an easy dot connector where he gets fired by the Cubs and goes to the Padres? There's also some talk that Gabe Kapler is going to get fired from the Phillies, which would open up another job there. Miami kept Mattingly. So I'm trying to connect some dots here. This isn't anything in stone, but do you agree with any of these things that I'm saying, or do you think we got to wait a little bit longer?
Well, look, first of all, I think if they fire Madden
he's not coming back. So let's.
All right. So that. I still say it's a mistake for whatever, but
David Ross will probably end up managing the Cubs.
And you know what? That's a good dude to do it. I think he's a terrific baseball mind. And I think the kind of personality that would do very well. Now we'll see, because he played with some of those guys.
Yeah, they'll hire a bench coach that's like a manager, you know? And then,
well, a guy like Ross, too. I mean, he played with some of those guys, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Yeah. So, yeah. You know, he was in that clubhouse.
How about San Diego?
I don't know about you. I would love to retire to San Diego, so it's a perfect spot for me. Why would I want to go to Philadelphia and deal with all that?
Yeah.
That's where I live in Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania, though. Joe Madden's
know. Well, he should know better then, because
Clint Hurdle's going to get fired too. Probably he could go to Pittsburgh with no expectations whatsoever, and right, like he could go there and rebuild that team too. Like I think Madden goes to a place where the bar is set lower, as opposed to Chicago. Like he goes where there's less pressure, and Pittsburgh will be open. I mean, this has been. And I feel really bad because I have a lot of friends that work for the Pirates organization. This has been the nightmare of all nightmares for their season this year. Fights, yeah. Vasquez with this terrible situation with the girl. You know, Clint Hurdle's not going to survive this. I love Clint Hurdle. He's so nice. Such a great guy. But he's not.
See, I love him, too. I think he's a terrific baseball man, a terrific manager. I just think it's unfortunate, you know, how things have kind of wound up and over there over the years. But let's not forget the success that he had there with those wild card runs and all that stuff. So let's not, you know, forget all that and as if he wasn't any good either. But managers always have their time where they kind of, you know, they run their course. If I'm Joe Madden, I go to San Diego or I go to a team like that because I think Joe Madden's strength is getting the young kids to play, right?
Yeah.
You know, Tatis, you take that, you take Paddock.
I think Pittsburgh or San Diego are perfect spots. I agree with you. Why would he go to Philadelphia where he better win the World Series this year? He could lose his gig again, right? And by the way, he has to go to a place where he can have some control too. Like he's not going to go to a spot where the analytics guy is coming downstairs and saying, you got to start these guys, which is what the Cubs are going to do, by the way, going forward. Like David Ross will be manager in theory, but the lineups will be run like they do in LA where they give David Roberts the lineup. You know that. Like they give him the lineup.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's working out last time I checked. And the
Yankees, too. They give Aaron Boone the lineup. Like, here's what you're doing today. You know, like those guys don't, you know, make
working out. Yeah. At this point, you know, it's hard to argue it, but Philadelphia is a tough gig, man. I tell you, I lived there for 4 years of college and then 2 years afterwards working in the city. It's a great town, great place to eat, drink, and be merry. It's a tough sports town. It really is. It's just one of the tougher fan bases to get over with. And I just thought there was a lot of new pieces in Philadelphia this year that I think people's expectations were a little high because of Harper. But it takes a while for a team to gel when you have all those new pieces. They got a lot of talent there. Clint Hurdle, you know, as a Mets fan, I'd rather have Clint Hurdle managing my team, who's an old Met, by the way, than I would, you know, Mickey Callaway.
But we'll see what happens. No, Callaway will survive. They massive comeback to get to this point. Real quick, Joe, the Emmys. I don't know if you caught any of that, so I apologize to throw you under the bus if you did not. I honestly only saw some results of the Emmys, and I noticed that your show, Game of Thrones, did pick up quite a few of them, and a couple of other shows that I watched, like Ozark on Netflix, also picked up a couple. Was there anything that struck you about the Emmys being that you do you still consider yourself an actor? I know you were an actor. Do you still consider yourself an actor? I know you're more of a fantasy guy.
Well, you know,
an actor, always an actor? Is that the way it goes? I don't know.
Well, once in the craft, you're always in the craft, and you always have. Yeah, and for a very long time, very serious for a very long time, and very lucky to get all the opportunities I did and work as much as I did. A lot of people did not work as much as I did. I was very lucky. But I thought this was wasn't the best season of Game of Thrones by any stretch of the means, but I think this was more it's like Return of the King wasn't the best Lord of the Rings movie, but that's the one that won the Oscar. It's like, here you go. Here's your cumulative, Emmy award. It was, I see Dinklage always get another award too, and his work get recognized. I stopped watching. I used to watch these award shows, Oscars, things like that, just locked in all the time. I'll still watch the Oscars, but I don't have the fervor for it I used to have because the older I got and the more I taught, and I was an acting teacher for 10 years on top of working, awards for art are kind of stupid. It's a stupid idea. well, your creativity is better than this person's creativity. Like, that's just dumb. You know, it's like, you're there to create something. And it's great because it brings a lot of attention to people's creativity and work. But at the end of the day, it's very subjective what people like, what people don't like. And also, you know, to say someone's the best performance, well, that's kind of dumb. But like, at anything, it's just a good opportunity to showcase great work. But yeah, I think awards for art overall is kind of a dumb idea.
All right, we'll take a quick time out.
I'm enlightened and in my old age.
We got the coming up next, we have a little exit velocity, so don't go away.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now, my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
We've come to the end of our show today, but before we leave and send you over to full-time fantasy, let's end it with a little exit velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Exit velocity.
Nice velocity.
The subject of my exit velocity today are young players in sports. And as my good friend Lenny Melnick used to say, and still tries to, a rookie is a rookie is a rookie. But like Lenny would admit, and most others, those days in sports are long gone. Players are just so much more prepared. The college level and the amateur level are almost at the pro level at this point. Take a look at the rookies in Major League Baseball, and take a look at the rookies in the NFL. And we're not talking about running backs now. We're talking about quarterbacks that are playing at an elite level. You have to take a second look now at players that have not played in baseball and players that have not played in the NFL and even in the NBA and consider them very highly for your fantasy football team. If you didn't catch Kyle Allen this past week, wow, what a performance. If you didn't catch Daniel Jones, take a look at what he did. How about Patrick Mahomes last year too? Players are ready. They are prepared. In baseball, Pete Alonso leads the league in hitting. Yordan Alvarez on the Astros is hitting a ton of bombs. It's a different day in sports. Players are ready. And as fantasy owners, you need to be ready too. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to Sean Guastamacchia for producing. For my co-host, Joe Pisapia, I am Craig Mish. Our Tuesday recap of Monday Night Football will be upon us in 24 hours from now. For now, Full-Time Fantasy is next. For Joe, I'm Craig. Have a great Monday, everybody. See ya.